One afternoon in the spring of 1904, two men sat talking together in a comfortable office in the city of Chicago, high up on the corner of Wabash and Randolph. The elder of the two wore a wing collar, a watch on a heavy gold chain with an elk-tooth fob, and a relaxed, superior manner. His name was Ambrose Thomas, and you might have taken him for a well-off retired broker or banker. The younger man, Albert Lasker, had a modern suit, dark wavy hair, and an air of suppressed energy. 30 years after the Great Fire, which had destroyed most of the downtown area, Chicago was a booming city, the fourth largest in the world. Only one block away stood the Masonic Temple, at 22 stories, the tallest building in the world. Nearby, at State and Madison, more of the new skyscrapers were rising around what was called the world's busiest corner. Toward the south side lay the huge expanse of the stockyards, where ever-increasing numbers of immigrants from just about every European country were employed in horrific conditions to slaughter millions of pigs and steers for the whole United States. Chicago's position as the hub of the national railroad system made it the crossroads of the rapidly growing U.S. economy, and for the same reason, in the more salubrious air of the downtown loop, the city was the center of the nation's rapidly expanding advertising business. Mr. Thomas and Mr. Lasker were the managing partners of advertising agency Lord & Thomas, the fastest growing agency in the United States, and soon to overtake NWA to become the largest. Its recent success owed everything to the drive and leadership of Albert Lasker, who had recently bought out the share of the eponymous Mr. Lord on his retirement. Yet it was only 6 years since Lasker, in order to pay off a gambling debt, had joined the agency as an office boy. Today, a partner with an annual salary of $52,000, he was still only 23 years old. The two men's conversation was interrupted by a knock, and a clerk entered with a note. Thomas glanced at it, pulled a face, and handed it to Lasker. The note was handwritten and read as follows. "I am in the saloon downstairs, and I can tell you what advertising is. I know that you don't know. It will mean much to me to have you know what it is, and it will mean much to you. If you wish to know what advertising is, send the word yes down by messenger." It was signed John E. Kennedy. Thomas was most disinclined to see this unknown man, but Lasker was intrigued. The stranger had offered to answer the question that was just then most on his mind. Although his own extraordinary energy and flair for organization had already more than doubled the agency's billings, Lasker still worried endlessly about how he could define the principles that would make advertising more of a profession and less of a gamble. Was advertising news, as he'd often been told? Was it keeping your name before the public, as one of his competitors claimed? He had pondered and discussed the question with many experienced people, but still lacked a convincing answer. Kennedy's sheer nerve must also have appealed to Lasker, who was himself capable of similar effrontery. At the age of 12, he had founded a newspaper in his hometown of Galveston, Texas, and personally solicited all the advertising for it. At 19, as a junior at Lord & Thomas, he had called without invitation on Mr. Abe Reinstrom of Reinstrom's Brewery, at his home in the middle of the day, to pitch and win the account for the agency. So Lasker said, "Let me see him. What have we got to lose?"